the expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Ons. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Christ. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. And it makes some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Roberts, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's not you, it's me. I think I can do better. It's all about the money. It's not about the money. We had it so much better back in the day. Why can't it be like it was 40 years ago? I know how to fix this. We're going to talk about all of those things in the next, I don't know, it might be an hour, it might be 2 hours, but we're going to do it on the What Podcast. Here we go. Russ, I don't know about you. That's Lord Taco. I'm Barry. This is the What Podcast. If you know, you already know, but I'm going to set it up anyway. We started this thing in 2018 as a, not a lark. Yeah, it was a lark. It was kind of a, we thought we'd do 3 months, right?
Yeah.
You, me, and Brad Steiner, who is kind of taking a hiatus. He hit the pause button. We'll talk about that later. Brad hit the pause button. We hope he'll be back. And I do want to mention, because I last week's show, I, you know, sort of introduced myself, 37 years with the Chattanooga Times Free Press, Brian Stone, a sometimes guest who's now going to have a bigger role, has been doing radio and podcasts for many, many years. And we got to talking and I glossed right over Russ. He's the guy who does a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, but I also failed to mention, and I've done that before, Nick Turner. Nick helped create a lot of the really, really cool graphic stuff, right? Nicky T is amazing.
Yeah, we love Nicky T.
Nicky T is the best, mm-hmm. And I sort of neglected him, so I wanted to mention that. But a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks that I don't know about you, but I didn't see coming. Our show last week with Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly, on the heels of the Moon River Festival in Chattanooga announcing that it was hitting the pause button, Russ, I gotta tell you, man, it's been a busy week.
It sure has.
So many conversations about that, and that's what we want to get into today. If you aren't aware, let me see if I can set it up quickly. Moon River, which is a national festival that started, it was started in Memphis in 2013, 2014, I think, and outgrew it pretty quickly. Moved to Chattanooga in 2018, 10 to 12,000 people in a Coolidge Park here in Chattanooga, a place that nobody thought could hold a festival.
Right. And it sold out. I think, what did we determine? 3 out of 5 years it was here, it sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. Quickly.
Cool. Yeah. Like days. Quickly. Yes.
When it sold out in days. So it was very popular, drew about 55% out of town guests. Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal for the city, huge deal for the city. And it hit the pause button. And I got to tell you, the conversations I've had since have been interesting, shocking, scary, good. And that's what we're going to get into. For you guys that are listening, you know, why do I care about a festival in Chattanooga? Because it relates to the music industry, and that's what I want to get into. There's a lot happening.
Right.
There is a...
It's happening in cities all over the country.
Right, right. And ours, this festival is... it relates... And that's why. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't care. I hope you'll stick around because it's relevant. Trust me. So Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly joined us last week for an hour on a Sunday, which I knew would be interesting, but I didn't know how interesting. I keep unpacking.
Oh, it was
what he said.
Great to have him on. And yeah. Just like you
said.
There's
a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, you said, find me another mayor who is more supportive of live music than Tim Kelly.
Yeah, start there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of stuff that he said that you can read between the lines that's talking about the industry. And the reason I know that is because almost immediately after it aired, I started getting phone calls from people within the industry saying, great interview. Here's what you missed. Here's what you got right. Here's what else you need to know, type of thing. And I hate doing an anonymous, and I hate doing behind the scenes stuff, but I can promise you, we will have those people on eventually because they promised me they will come on. But we got a lot of it right. We got some stuff, you know, wrong, not because we messed up, but we made some assumptions. For example, I think we intimated that the Moon River Festival might go to Huntsville. It's not going to Huntsville. And I kind of let that go. One of the things that, and we've had Drew Holcomb, the co-founder of the festival, on our show several times, right?
Several times.
He's always been a Tennessee guy. This festival is a Tennessee festival. It's always going to be a Tennessee festival. It's not leaving the state. Need to put that out there. And Drew, I'm sorry. I'm sure you've been grinding your teeth for a week. I mean, I don't know if he listens or not. He may not even be aware, but I
assume we're not the only ones. I assume everyone listens. Why wouldn't they?
Exactly. But we're not the only ones who have been, speculating.
Yeah. Well, it's not hard to, read between the lines and make that assumption because, like we found out, Huntsville has been aggressively attracting music festivals and musical acts to come through there. They want to become like a music city almost. So
no, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not almost, that's exactly right. And so it was an easy leap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting. But as I've learned from talking to people, like I said, all week, it's an easy leap. And as Mayor Kelly said, you can write a big fat check and draw that festival,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as easy as all that. you know, you still have to have fans. You got to draw fans. You have to have, and I guess this is part of what I've learned. There has to be an attraction. It's not just, you know, that band A is playing your city. It's, as we've said over and over and over, it's the fan experience. Was it easy to buy tickets?
Yeah.
Was the website easy to navigate? Do I care to go to your city? You know, what else am I going to do? Is it a park? You know, do I have to drive? Do I have to take a bus? If I don't like the band, can I walk somewhere else and go shopping or get something to eat? I mean, there's so many things.
You're right.
And that's really, yeah.
And Chattanooga checks all those boxes, to be honest. I mean, it's
checks all those boxes.
Where Coolidge Park is in North Chattanooga is right in the middle of a great area to walk around in. There's bars, there's restaurants, there's shops. So, you know, and like Mayor Kelly pointed out, Huntsville doesn't necessarily have that.
No, no. And I've talked to people from Huntsville and even they were like, we're so excited to have this festival coming. And then they heard our conversation and they're like, oh, wait, we don't have that.
Yeah.
We don't have that. So, and then I, again, talking to other industry and like I said, you can unpack a lot from the conversation we had last week with Mayor Kelly. And Russ, we kind of talked about it in our introduction, but I didn't dial down when we were talking to Mayor Kelly. That size thing is probably way more important than we talked about. When they moved to Chattanooga, 10 to 12,000 was the number. That was the boutique number. That was the comfortable number that festivals wanted to hit. It's not enough.
Yeah.
It apparently is not enough. They can't make money at that number. So it's got to be more.
Which is funny because, you know, it wasn't that long ago you and I were talking about the rise of boutique festivals. And, you know, instead of a 70 or 80,000 festival, why not do a 10 to 12,000? And to us, that seemed perfect, especially for a place like Moon River in Chattanooga. I can't imagine wanting that to be bigger. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to sell X number of tickets to make your money back, I guess.
And that's, I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of the launching point where I really, when I woke up this morning and knew we were going to have this conversation, I just, like I said, it's been all week. I've been thinking about this. I don't think we intended this show to be sort of a time capsule of festivals, but it has become such. And the more I thought about it, you know, whatever, pat ourselves on the back. I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Russ has done an unbelievable job of archiving all of our shows, and you can go easily, well, fairly easily, to the guest lineup and look. But I started writing down some notes, and I alluded to it last week. We've had some pretty cool people on, not just like artists. That always is good, but to me, it's the sausage making stuff. And so I'm going to ask, you know, if you're interested in this kind of stuff like I am, I just made some quick notes. Russ, you'll remember we had John and Allie.
Mm-hmm.
They are promoters. They book acts for C3, and they were on to talk about how much stuff I'd gotten wrong, quite honestly. Which I appreciated. It's still but anyway, they talked about how acts are booked, why acts are booked, how they consider routing, and you know where they are. You know, I always thought it was like a 90 minute radius, which Allie told me was what, more like 3 to 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
5 being kind of the goal. Point being, you don't want the same act playing the same market. And that's relevant for us because Chattanooga is 90 minutes from Knoxville, 90 minutes from Atlanta, 2.5 from Birmingham.
Right.
Now we're what, 55 from Huntsville.
Yep. We've always existed in this weird Bermuda Triangle of
correct
big cities that yeah, they don't want to have that overlap when they tour. So a lot of times they'll skip over Chattanooga because it's like, why not just go to Nashville or Atlanta, you know?
Which has a better venue.
And a bigger, better history. Yeah.
We know it's going to do well there. Yeah, everybody in Chattanooga thinks, oh, man, our location is great. Why don't they just stop here? They don't want to stop here. Mm-hmm. It takes away from the other. So
exactly.
That's one point. And then we also had Jeff Becker. I don't know if you remember him. He's an attorney during COVID who introduced us to the term force majeure.
Yeah.
Which is that little bitty line at the bottom of your contract that says, what happens if the earth blows up? You know, who's on the hook? That was one of my favorite interviews.
Me too.
I'm like, what?
Yep.
So that was interesting.
One of those things you never think about would ever happen until it happens. Just like we had a few years ago, you know, the world ended basically. And yeah, you're right. Who writes the check when that happens? Who's on the hook?
And somebody has to.
Somebody has to, yeah.
That's right. And that kind of came up, it did come up 2 years ago and last year with the Moon River again when the rain.
Right.
You know, they lost money. Well, no, they had insurance. That wasn't the deal. These guys know what they're doing. It sucked for us as fans.
Yeah, and they refunded everyone's ticket, which was the right thing to do, but you're right. Somebody bailed them out.
It's always about money. There again, back to the money. And we also had Mark Myers, and I went and I did find, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting conversation. It's kind of where I want to go. Mark wrote a book about the history of concerts, and I'm going to bring it back around. I remember talking to him because I'm a lot older than you are. So I wasn't at Woodstock. I was a little kid, but the history of like arena rock and roll and concerts, I'm very familiar with because I covered shows at our UTC arena from about 1982 on. 12,000, they say 12. It's more like 9,500 was the capacity. We had a lot of great shows. A lot of, you know, the Van Halens and the Guns N' Roses. And I mean, on and on and on. It is a terrible building for a rock concert.
It is. I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a can of tuna. It's a round tin building. Built for basketball. It was not built for music. And I bring it up because in the last week when all this is happening, there people are, you know, with their nostalgia. Oh, I saw so many shows. Why can't UTC? Well, the industry has changed. And that's truly the point. We were lucky to get those because we had people who wanted to bring those shows in here and they did what they could to bring them, and God bless them, and thank you. Mm-hmm. I saw some unbelievable Motley Crue in there. It was amazing. On and on and on. But it is a bad venue. It also doesn't have parking for the promoter, and it doesn't have alcohol sales. So the promoter only can make money on tickets. I won't get into all that, but it's a key component. The promoter has to make money, right?
Yeah.
Three things: parking, concessions, and tickets. That's how they make money. If you eliminate two of those, they're not making any money. The other thing is there aren't as many individual promoters as there used to be. Like it or not, Live Nation is the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah,
there's only a handful of them.
And Mayor Kelly even pointed that out last week that, you know, the lack of competition.
There's so much, if you will read between the lines to what Mayor Kelly said, it's all there. Trust me. But yeah, so there's, you know, these guys are in it for business. They're not in it so that Chattanooga can feel good about itself. That's the other thing I keep hearing. You know, if only people cared, they would do this. It's a business, right? and they're not coming here if they can't make any money.
Right.
And a lot of people forget Ashley Capps, who is the AC and AC Entertainment, which started Bonnaroo, used to book those shows. He's been doing it a long, long time. He didn't just suddenly get smart. What was it? When did AC kind of take over the Tivoli and the auditorium? 19, 18, 17? It was before COVID.
Yeah,
right?
It was way before COVID. You're right.
I'm sorry. I can look that back up. But he didn't just suddenly get smart.
And right.
The city didn't suddenly get, you know, hey, we should probably talk to Ashley Capps. He'd been doing it a long time and failing and having success. Mm-hmm. He brought a lot of shows to the Tivoli and the auditorium. Some were successful, some were not. But that was the point. It was always kind of a iffy situation.
Who, by the way, we've had Ashley Capps on the show. He was, what, second or third guest we've ever had?
He's been on two or three times, mm-hmm. I think. I'm glad I want to bring that up again. Sort of my history. Part of what I want to do is kind of the Mark Myers thing, the history of this stuff. So we had a lot of good shows at the arena, but they were hit or miss. You know, there were so many that canceled because of ticket sales were so poor. Mm-hmm. You know, we joked about that before. Chattanooga is a bad walk-up. We don't buy advance tickets. Now, why is that important? Because the promoter gets nervous. If the promoter's looking at his advance ticket sales and he hadn't hit his nut, his magic number where he makes money, they get nervous. If they know they can go to Knoxville or Atlanta or Nashville or whatever, and they know they're going to sell tickets, that's where they're going to go. They're not in it to take a risk and go to a Chattanooga or back in the day, a Huntsville, you know,
right.
They book, as Allie and John said, they book where they know they're going to be successful. They might write in a risk, you know, try to grow a market. And that's what they did for the long, long, long time. So there's that. But, and I've said this on the show before, I reviewed all of those shows at the arena, and they were great. They were fun. I mean, there was country, there was rock, there was rap. They were fun, but I mean, it got dull. I think I've said on here before, it got predictable, especially if you went a lot. The shows became, you kind of knew third song, hey, Chattanooga, fifth song, hey, this is our band. You know, it was dull. And then Bonnaroo happened in 2002. And we've joked on here, our former co-host and co-founder, Brad Steiner, I remember introducing him to Ashley Capps in Louisville at Forecastle in the bourbon tent. And the first thing out of Brad's mouth was, thank you for saving live music. And I thought, oh my God, really? You know, and Ashley kind of looked at him, but he was like, no, I'm not kidding. The industry had gotten predictable and dull, and nobody cared about touring bands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bonnaroo, as we've said, changed all that, because now I get to see 100 acts and I get to discover acts that I've never heard of. I'm not just going to see my favorite, right? And that's a key thing. It really was important.
Yeah, it broke the formula.
Completely broke the formula. And so that's why we're here. That's what that's what I love about that festival is I get to go there and discover, come home with 1, 2, 10, whatever favorite new acts that I'd never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to seeing the ones that I already knew about. Right.
Yeah. Because people aren't listening to the radio anymore to discover music. They're not watching MTV. You know,
right.
This is pretty much the best way to find new acts that you have never heard of.
And I don't want gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
I like a gimmick. I love a good light show and whatever. But I want, you know, that Childish Gambino show. One guy.
Yeah.
And a microphone.
Great example.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, one of the best shows I've seen.
Show was,
Yeah,
absolutely incredible. Brandi Carlile on that Sunday Father's Day morning was amazing. You know, those are the kind of things. So what's changed? All of a sudden now the costs are way, way up. Festivals, you, our show last week, if you remember, you sent me, you know, the edited version and you put a headline on it. Are festivals dying? I think, is that what it said? Is this the end of festivals or something?
Yeah, like I think the first draft said that.
And I immediately texted back to you and Brian. I was like, that's a little strong. And Brian's like, no, maybe not. I don't think it's too strong. I don't think they're dying, but they are definitely changing for a lot of reasons. You know, the first thing Mayor Kelly said last week when I asked, you know, how do we interpret this pause button thing? Was it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not just because Moon River hit the pause button in Chattanooga. No. That's what I've discovered over the week.
We figured out this is not a Chattanooga thing. This is not a one-time thing. This is happening in cities all over.
That's exactly right. The industry has changed. The costs have skyrocketed. Fans' tastes, not just about the music, but what they're willing to go to. And that to me was the thing, Russ. I mean, you and I, well, think about our own experience, you know, Camp Nut Butter, for people who were new to this show. That's how we all came to be friends. I didn't know Russ before 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't know Brad. Yeah, I knew of him. We had spoken, but we all ended up literally in a camp together at Bonnaroo, which I dubbed Camp Nut Butter because Brad's wife, Hillary, is vegan and makes her own nut butter. And it's a funny word. So, you know, hey, I'll see you guys next year at Camp Nut Butter. And from there, we came up with a sign and fencing. And,
oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, it ballooned. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Had as many as 20, 25 people.
Yep.
That I consider close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people that I never knew and before that, and we have that bond. But last year, what, 7 of us?
Yeah, you know, it's dwindled a little bit, and
for a variety of reasons.
Big reason I think is that we got kicked out of our space, but
well, that and we got old.
Yeah.
People had kids, you know, people got health issues, whatever. We oversold the camping area and on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks who put on the festival figured, hey, we could probably make some money off of that. But anyway, point being, that's part of the change, right? I mean, we've been going, some of us, 20 years since the beginning. So the evolution. But my point is, I guess it really hit me this week that we've hit another big, big change. I'm not here to say it's the end. I'm here to say they're going to have to figure out how to grow and adapt. We pointed out several years ago, that everybody thought they could have a festival. I mean, it went from what felt like a dozen, maybe 2 dozen that were on the radar. I mean, a lot of towns had, you know, their strawberry festival or their whatever. But the big ones that would draw national attention went from a couple dozen to 1,000.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or more. I remember Rolling Stone doing a story on it. And so now it's resetting, you know, it seems like there's a lot of money to be had, but the costs have gone way, way up. So the serious players, are figuring out how to make it work. Right.
They are. And I think that's a big part of when we had, Brad and Corey on from C3, they talked a lot about how they're trying to figure out to make these changes when they did the uncoupling of the tickets. They're trying to tailor the experience to how tastes have changed and how fans have changed.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, Bonnaroo, again, is a good example. It, you know, it started as a hippie fest because hippies would camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure and simple. Ashley told us that straight up.
Straight up. That's
it wasn't because they wanted a hippie fest. It was because the Fish fans would camp.
Yep, that's exactly why they booked Fish. Yep.
Yeah, and they knew over the years that they would have to adjust and create these VIP experiences and all of that, and they've done that. And so now it's another reset, you know, call it a pause, call it a reset, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to be a naysayer. We love these things. So, you know, we're all in. And our guest, I guess we're going to go ahead and do that. Our guest on the show this week is Dan from Gallatin, Tennessee, right?
Correct.
He's a veteran festival goer, goes to a bunch of different ones, including Bourbon and Beyond, which you'll hear for the first part of it is you, me, and Brian Stone gushing over this, what looks like a made up, no way it's real.
Yeah, exactly. We were lineup. Almost thought it was a fake lineup just because we've heard nothing about this year. It's so tough to book acts. And that's the reason why you're seeing, you know, lineups like you're seeing. This one comes out of nowhere. And I mean, you've seen it. It's got everyone on it.
Yeah, I'm surprised there aren't dead people on this thing that I want to see.
Right.
I mean, the only people, you know, the Doors and the Beatles and the it's that good. And we literally gush. And then Dan comes on and gives us kind of a reality check. Not in the sense that the lineup changes, but the user experience part of it. And I mean, that's huge, right?
It is.
I mean,
that can be the difference between I'm going to, well, now I'm not so sure.
Right. And again, everything from did the website work? Could I buy my ticket? Am I confident that I bought my ticket? Do they have their hand in my wallet? I mean, I've said that many, many, many times on here. You know, you mentioned Brad and Corey and the different user experiences at Bonnaroo. There's a line between does that make my experience better because I get to pick, or does it feel like, you know, yeah, you can go here, but it'll be another $10, or you can go there, it'll be another $10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all of a sudden at the end of the day, you're on the hook for a big number. All those things play into it, right?
They do. And, you know, kind of teases what Dan talks about Bourbon and Beyond. It's a little like that, it sounds like, where they're kind of nickel and diming you every time you turn around, you know, you're paying for something else.
Yeah. Also, it's that city thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all want them. Every city, every place wants them. We alluded to Huntsville, I think, and I just want to reiterate, Moon River is not going to Huntsville. Huntsville will have its own festival. I think I can say this without giving anything away. The plan is for Moon River to come back in 2015.
2025.
Excuse me. I did that the other day on the show. I think I said Bonnaroo when I meant to say Moon River. Thank you for correcting me. 2025. The plan is to bring it back. Where, when, how, you know, remains to be seen.
Right. But so I think we went from being not so optimistic that it's coming back to now I think we kind of are optimistic that it's coming back.
Yep, if they can make it work,
mm-hmm.
100%. And then that's, you know, we made a big deal of the pause thing. Like, what does that mean? You know, the thought process is, yeah, that's just, like I said, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Kind of make you feel good.
PR speak.
Yeah. But exactly. But everybody that I've talked to is confident that they are trying as best they can. But again, it's that whole, we're going to have to figure out where the industry is going type of thing. And I think that's the point of all of this. So, all right. So here we go. We're going to hear from Dan, who is a, you know, regular festival goer. And he's going to tell us his experience at Bourbon and Beyond in 2022.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Music festivals almost universally will agree that the 2020 Bonnaroo lineup was the best lineup ever. And of course, it didn't happen because we had a pandemic. It's still referenced. But this past week, or depending on when you're hearing this, the Bourbon and Beyond Festival in Louisville released its lineup. And guys, it almost looks made up, right? Am I making that up? It looks fake. It's so good.
Yeah, all the yahoos that do the mock lineups online over the off season, which I don't, I think it's actually kind of fun to see some of that stuff. Some people try to be deceptive with it, which is annoying, but that's kind of what this looks like. Like, who has great taste in music and decided to make up a fake lineup? Because that's what this feels like.
I mean, when Neil Young is your fourth headliner, and let's see, going way down, what was the one that reached?
I just looked again. Lyle Lovett's on here.
Lyle Lovett is on here. The Beach Boys are on here way down.
Chris Isaac.
Devin Gafilian is, you know, eight rows from the bottom.
And when your top two, coming from just my personal preference, when your top two headliners, I really couldn't care to see at all, but still love every second of everything I see here, meaning Zach Bryan, which is one of the biggest artists in the world, and Dave Matthews, just because I've seen him a lot. I'm not a hater.
I am.
Okay, well, that's I get it. Trust me, I get it. But just like normally, if the headliners don't grab you, even the undercard is difficult for some to get excited about because these things are expensive and there's a lot that goes into this. And you want the headliners to be something that you're interested in. In this case, in this lineup for Bourbon and Beyond, it doesn't matter. Like,
correct.
Who's where or what line you're on. First of all, this is one of the more different posters we've seen in that there's the top line and then every other line all the way down is almost the same size. Yeah, like, as opposed to the gradual dropping. I don't know what, it's just an observation. I don't know what it means. Probably nothing, but it's crazy to me, this lineup. It speaks
anybody on the undercard could be a headliner anywhere else.
It speaks to me, to anybody watching here. This is my list of everything I want to see at this festival. This is this is more of an almost, like most want to, maybe kind of deal. I have never seen a lineup where I would write down that many bands. Over the course,
that's a full sheet of paper.
If I filled out this many bands that I wanted to see at Bonnaroo any given year, it would be a 2 or 3 year conglomeration. This thing, you know, it just depends on who you ask and everything in life. This lineup is crazy good.
You could see everyone on this lineup and feel like you've had a pretty good lifetime of seeing the bands that you wanted to see.
It's
oh yeah, this is three or four festivals.
It is absolutely mind blowing. The more I look at it, and it is the ultimate undercard festival lineup, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it just keeps going and going. It's the Energizer Bunny. You just keep looking and line by line, and it's just like. And then it gets down to the bluegrass section. I didn't even write any of that down. Yonder Mountain String Band's going to be there. They're at like the bottom third.
Chatham County Line.
It covers.
Barry, are you excited? You love bluegrass.
Yeah, your favorite, right?
Yeah. It's.
But I mean, it scratches that.
Future Bird, Suzanne Vega. I mean, it's got. Legacy acts, you know, it's got the bands like that, like Suzanne Vega. Oh, when else am I going to see a Suzanne
You're
Vega?
You're not.
I know.
You're not. Larkin Poe. I love Bruce Hornsby. You know.
He's on like the seventh line, eighth line.
J.J.
And it's
Gray.
Not just Bruce Hornsby. It's with the Noisemakers. It's with the original band. I mean, I don't know how many are original, but with the band. Dinosaur Jr. for those 90s kids. Yep.
Jade Bird,
my love
KT
of my life.
KT Tunsil. Honestly, the more I look at it, the more I think this is made up.
Soul
this
Asylum is one of my favorite 90s bands. They don't tour, not on this side
Tedeschi
of the country.
Tedeschi Trucks is third line. But I'm going to go back real quick because you mentioned headliners. This is the year, supposedly, that booking headliners is the most difficult in forever. I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard from industry people. That's part of the reason some of these festivals are maybe hitting pause buttons is because, you know, all the big guys came out so strong out of the pandemic and now they're hitting a reset. But yet we get Zach Bryan, Dave Matthews, Tyler, you know, Neil Young, Beck, Second Line, Matchbox 20, The National. And we haven't even mentioned my band, My Morning Jacket, and The War on Drugs. That's the first two lines.
The War on Drugs is so great. That's the first two lines. And, I mean, Whiskey Myers is a huge act right now. You can see the way that it's designed. You know where people are going to be. You know where the Zach Bryan fans are going to be. They're going to be at Whiskey Myers. You know where the Neil Young and Chill, they're going to be at Childers. It's just layered out so well. The Beach Boys. Now, of course, that's the Mike Love band.
It's
basically a cover band. But I want to go. I love the Beach Boys.
You're going to be there and you're going to sing a song. Mm-hmm. You're going to sing for 60 minutes.
Damn right I
every
am.
Single song.
Young the Giant, who is Maureen Morris, is a huge. Anybody who goes to Zach Bryan will be, or Maureen, or is it Maureen Morris?
Maren Morris.
My bad. Maren Morris.
There's Melissa Etheridge is on
I was
here.
About to say Melissa Etheridge is the next line. There's even a couple of TBDs on there up on the higher end. Like, you know, if you put to be determined or announced, that doesn't mean that's not some garage band, you know. So they're
Alan gonna, Stone,
yeah,
God, yeah. Alan Stone, once upon a time, you know, was really making
Nico Moon is way up there. I'm glad to see that. He's a friend of the show, been on with us, Russ, if you remember. Nice, mm-hmm. super, super nice guy.
The War and Treaty. Which was just nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys, which is pretty ridiculous considering they've been around for over a decade.
All right, so it's pretty clear. We all agree that is an unbelievable lineup, and it's got us beyond excited. We've already decided yesterday that we're going.
Absolutely.
But we also have
a
guest.
We're going.
Absolutely. But we have a guest that Russ, I think you found, and Dan is going to join us. He's actually been, so we're going to hear from him now, and he gives spoiler alert a little bit. He loved it, but there were some issues, and so we want to hear his take on it, right? So here we go, and Dan from Gallatin, Tennessee is joining us. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself, gentlemen?
You like Dan or Daniel?
Six one, half does the other. Dan's right. Probably easier, so let's go with that.
Where are you calling? Where are you from?
I'm just north of Nashville, up in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Okay. All right. So you've been to this Bourbon and Beyond Festival before, right?
I did. I went in 22 when Pearl Jam was the main headliner for that year.
Well, you've already got a friend.
Yep.
I was going to go Louder Than Life that year, but when they announced Pearl Jam was there, it was like, nope, changing my plans. I went to Bourbon and Beyond instead.
All right. Do you go to other festivals?
Oh, yes. Summer Camp, All In, Bonnaroo, of course.
Okay, good. Just want to get some establishment. So we were talking just before you jumped on that this lineup looks made up. It's beyond good.
I don't know how they afford it.
Okay. All right. So what are the ones that jump out at you?
Oh, for this year's lineup?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I don't know where to begin on that one. Everybody?
Pretty fair. I mean, you're not.
It's got everything for everybody. A couple of surprises. Like, I'm kind of surprised Andy Frasco, of all people, is going to be there for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I love Frasco. I love him a lot. I just don't know how his stage presence and act is going to go over at the way this festival is laid out.
Okay, we're going to get into that in a minute here.
But Dave Matthews, I thought he was going to be at Rue. That's a good one. It's a lot of for us old people, there's a lot of bands there that are just like, I'd love to go see all this.
90s kids are very happy with some of this stuff, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you a camping festival or city festival, or does it matter? Is it lineup? Is it what? You go. I have a lot of questions. You go by yourself? I mean, describe how you do this.
Okay, I prefer camping festivals, and that's actually one of the reasons I was excited about Bourbon Beyond, because it was a city festival that did camping. So it was like, that's cool. The execution of the camping's not quite there. It was more kind of an add-on than anything. I prefer camping festivals. I prefer the vibe of the crowd and everything else. And and I normally go, me and my partner, we normally we go check these all out. We've discovered our love of music in 22 festivals and stuff, and now we're addicted and go to as many as we can get.
Okay. All right. Do we want to go ahead and jump right in? What it describe this festival? Because, well, let's talk first about lineup. How important is lineup to how you choose? If you go to a bunch of them, they're all different, right? City, and for people who are listening, city festivals are typically you stay in a hotel, you eat in the local restaurants, the festival gates open at a certain time and they close at a certain time, and so you're in and out of there. Camping festival can be that, but it can also be like Bonnaroo, where you're literally camping next to one of the stages. So it's, 24/7. So just sort of setting all that up. Do you have a preference again? And how much does the lineup, you said you like camping, but how much does the lineup play into which one you choose?
I would say maybe a 40%. It's a heavy weight, but it's not my determining factor.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, like when they announced Pearl Jam, of course I was all over that one, but I would say a lineup is a driver, as long as there's enough I can groove to. If there's four or five bands that I can listen to, that makes it worth the ticket price, and so I'm good for that.
Okay. All right, so what was it like? What describe this festival? I've been to Forecastle, which is also in Louisville, but it's a completely different festival, right? I mean, it's on the river. It's, I would consider, a city festival. We stayed in an Airbnb, but a lot of people stay right by the hotels right there, and they walk, and it's pretty cool. This is different, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a hybrid. So they do have camping there, but it's mostly I would say probably most of the people are either locals or they're hoteling it. The camping space, it may have been a couple thousand RVs and a couple thousand car campers, and that was about it. It was kind of wedged off into part of the amusement park that's attached to the Expo Center, Kentucky Kingdom, which is there. So we basically were camping in what would be the parking lots of the amusement park.
So there's not plazas, they're not stages, they're not where in the woods, there's nothing like Bonnaroo.
So what's the camping area, what's its proximity to what we would call Centaroo? Like what's its proximity to where the action, where the main stage area is? Are we talking 100 yards? Are we talking a mile and a half?
It's about a mile walk.
Okay. So
it wasn't too bad. The RVs were in the front of the camping, closest to the stages. The car camping were in the very back. There was a single center plaza where they had a single food truck and the only hydration station for the camping area.
So you need to take care of yourself in this setup. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the porta potty situation was.
You never get that right anywhere. Answers always situation, but.
The hydration issue is a big one, and I want to touch on that a lot when we talk about this festival, because if there's one complaint I have about Bourbon and Beyond, it's that in so many ways. It really wasn't infrastructure set up for camping, really. Like I said, the camping was an add-on. You did get access to the bowling alley that was attached, right next to there, too.
Whoa.
This
thing sounds like it sucks.
By that, do you mean it had a bathroom and air conditioning, or went in there to bowl?
Yes. So bathroom and air conditioning was the big thing, because it was a late September. It was hot as hell that year, too.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was it was great because they had like a little restaurant there and like stuff like that, except when you had hundreds of people show up from the campgrounds, they were not staffed for that. And it quickly became overwhelmed. They tried to do, they announced via Twitter or something like that, or the app, that there was going to be discounted bowling for the campers. And we got to the bowling alley, and they're like, "Well, we didn't agree to that." So I was like, "Okay." The good thing about that was it was like a great midpoint of walking from the back of the car camping area to the festival. So if you had to stop, it was a great midway point to do it.
Okay.
But other than that, the novelty wore off really, really fast after the first couple times. It was.
You said you're camping in a parking lot, like a literal, you're on pavement camping?
Some people were. I was actually in a little strip of grass that was also, by the way, underneath the flight path for Louisville International.
So all those FedEx planes are coming in and out of there all day long. Yeah,
we can Wayne's World this thing, let the planes fly over us as we sit on top of our cars.
Nice. Yeah, if you've never been there, FedEx is
I think it's UPS, but yeah, either way, it's cargo plane after cargo plane after cargo plane. It added to a great ambiance.
So how many years, question for everybody here, I was just trying to quickly look it up, Google it, and I didn't get a quick answer. How many years is this for Bourbon and Beyond? Is this 4 or 5 years? 3 or 4 years?
I couldn't tell you exactly. It's fairly new.
Yeah, not that many. So they're probably still working through a lot of these growing pains would be my guess. My first guess, too, is that camping has been a later addition to this. I'm only taking a guess, and I want to hope that's the case. If it's kind of this, the way it's being described is slightly unorganized or potentially people not on the same page. Because that's every festival, from the one we try to put on in our backyard to the one down by the river. There's always something somebody's forgotten about. There's always
growing.
Yeah, there's major growing pains. And I'd like to give the benefit of the doubt, because I love this lineup so much, that's what they've been dealing with. But you can speak to that more.
But they're charging, if I'm reading this right, it's $300 to camp.
I saw that, yes.
Yep, that's about right.
That's not the price you'd pay for what you'd expect if it's a add-on.
You'd expect a better situation for sure. But then
you'd expect it to be executed,
Did you have a space allotted to you, or did you have to find... Bonnaroo, you pull in and they're parking you, and you've got to set space. I mean,
it's like that's what you do there for there too.
Yeah, they have the same thing. It's the same standard 20x20 space that they were allocating off.
But some of them were asphalt or parking.
Some were on asphalt.
Ugh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, would not want to be on asphalt, especially when it's that hot.
Yeah, and in September, you never know. I mean, it might not, mid-September, it might not be that high. Probably will be. Also, it could be a hurricane down in the Gulf, and then who knows?
Not every tent is designed to, you know,
sit on concrete.
Dig into asphalt, so, okay.
So, all said and done, though, it was still cheaper than hoteling.
Way cheaper.
Which was one of the reasons that we did it. You know, coming to Nashville, could I have driven every day? Absolutely. I just kind of wanted the vibes of the thing. That's what I go for. And it wasn't a Bonnaroo vibe, but the camping itself wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad experience. It just wasn't camping does not sell that fast. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
What else? The good, the bad, the ugly with the festival. Other than the camping was good. Lineup was amazing. The bourbon was good, if you could afford it.
Yeah.
It was great. I had a 1946 Weller with my nephew, so yeah, that was probably nice. Would not have the chance to have that pretty much elsewhere.
Nice.
It certainly makes things better.
Yep. They do have seats. You can buy tickets to carry in, like bag chairs and stuff like that. And they have areas that are, you know, if you want to sit down and take a chair in, you can. I think it was $10 or $15 a day for a ticket for your chair. Good side on that
is the chair, or do you just bring your own chair in and pay them to bring it in?
Oh yeah, you pay and bring your own chair.
That's the way I thought it read, and I kind of I rolled my eyes at that. There's a lot, and Dan, I'll let you get back to your point. I don't mean to cut you off, but I've not heard a lot of great things about this festival from a logistics standpoint. This is not the first good lineup. If you didn't say it exactly, you alluded to it. There's been really good lineups for this festival. Infrastructurally, logistically, and I'm going through Reddit, Twitter, social. That's the only measurement that I have. A lot of complaints, and I'm interested when we get to the hydration part you talked about. I've heard others talk about that in the past, but
was there a lot of that type of thing, Dan, where it's a la carte pay type of stuff? I mean, you didn't have to pay for water.
No,
you didn't have to pay for bathroom. You didn't have to pay for showers, or did you?
No showers. No, there were a shower. There was one shower, except it was broken when we went to go use it. So we ended up just
shocking. The one shower was in use, huh?
So we just, you know, camp showered it. The bag chairs, the thing with the chairs were, it was a great idea if you want to be there in the early afternoons before it got crowded, but by 5 or 6 PM, those chairs were useless at that point because the crowd was so heavy in front of you. You couldn't sit down and see anyway. Logistically wise, they had the bag chair actually was the fastest way to get into the festival because they had like a ton of people allocated to search the bags, the chairs for everyone else coming in. And there wasn't that many people going in there, so it took longer to get searched, but you made it through the line faster than everyone going through the normal gates. So that was kind of weird.
Now for $10, you could just ditch the chair and you get in quicker, I guess, right?
The food was good. They had a good selection of food there.
Is it really bourbon heavy, or is that just a clever name?
No, so that's just the name. So a lot of the companies are all in there. They had like one tent that was about as hot as Hades because of how hot it was with no air. But and that's where they were selling like these classic bourbons and rare bourbons.
So just the Kentucky bourbon aura, the name is where that. Right. It's less about, hey, come drink a bunch of or taste a bunch of bourbons and stuff. I was wondering about that.
Right.
I do think it's one of the worst names for a festival ever. Just
not going to argue with that one either.
Don't like it.
Sounds like Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going on, you know, this weekend with the, you know, the barbecue fest next door kind of thing.
Yeah. A cotillion fundraiser.
Yeah.
What else? That's the good. And the lineup. The lineup was good. And you know, I will say their execution of the bands playing, they had that down to a freaking science. This left, you know, left, right stage, back and forth, back and forth.
I've heard that.
There was maybe 15-minute gaps between each set. And so, I mean, they had that just clicking and moving, and I give them full props for that.
That's great.
To get through those bands like that with no delays. And I guess part of that is they have a hard cutoff at midnight or something like that, so they got to get through that anyway. Again, it's that.
What time did it start? What time was the first band?
I want to say it was like 2 p.m., between 1 or 2 p.m.
Until midnight.
Until midnight.
Okay.
And there's two small stages in the back that did a lot of bluegrass that I actually never got to because I was up there for the main stuff.
Now, is this, I mean, I'm somewhat familiar with Louisville, but not this particular site. Is it all wide open concrete? It's all
gravel. Yeah.
Basically like a giant airport is what I imagine.
Concrete
right?
and gravel. Great.
Some grass in where the booths are and stuff like that, but where you're standing for the show, it's mostly gravel and hard packed dirt. It's the Kentucky Expo Center. There's not a whole lot of nothing out there. It's just this big open area that they just throw up these stages and these booths and go.
Yeah. Okay.
What about like restroom facilities and water? Well, you were going to talk about the hydration, water station.
We're going to go right to the ugly.
Well, sorry. Go ahead. No. Go with your.
That's Brian's skill set right there.
My bad. You were good, bad, ugly. Just continue. My bad.
So good was the lineup. The lineup was good and the execution was good. The bad was camping was, kind of an afterthought and. Let's just go. Yeah, let's touch the ugly because it really is a big one, to be honest with you. It's probably the thing that is keeping me from going back there. If I do, it's I don't know. So they have a policy. There's no hydration packs. You can bring in one clear plastic bottle for water. Mm. And it can't be sealed. You have to have the lids off and stuff like that. So you can't even bring a water bottle. It's got to be empty. And it's got to be see-through. So people were coming in with like that. Hydro flask and they're like kicking them out and they're like, nope, you gotta get rid of that. So
no camel packs.
No camel packs at all.
What an asshole move.
I agree. And there's two hydration stations there with six bouts each. And they are at the very far end of where the stages are. So the stage is on one end of the fest, your water's on the complete opposite side of where this place is. And like I said, they have six spouts. Each hydration station.
So you're talking a total of 12 for the entire place? You're not thinking you might have missed four or five other of these?
Nope.
Oh, man. Wow. This is not surprising me, again, from what I've read through the socials. This is...
Wow. So, like, Saturday when Pearl Jam was playing, of course, the largest crowd, and it was a massive crowd there, it was an hour and a half to 2 hours in line to get water.
Oh.
So that was like my biggest complaint. And me and my nephew, we were up on the rail and it was so packed in there. We couldn't get out. My girlfriend luckily couldn't, she made it out. She waited 2 hours line to bring us one bottle of water apiece. And it was like, it was close to us falling out. And that's not my first time doing this kind of stuff either. So I was like, now they did have some vendors selling some water for like $8 a can. If you could get
liquid death, I'm sure. Right.
No, it was not even that. It was like music water or something like that.
Some other water in a can with a
rubber band. Yep, exactly. For an outrageous price, if you could get to them. And the hydration situation was, it was so bad. That's actually what keeps me from wanting to ever go back to that festival again, despite these amazing lineups.
No, I mean, it's legit, man. I mean,
it's comfort. The number one rule of a music festival. Stay hydrated. My God. Right?
And we had, there was people falling out during Pearl Jam too. Eddie Vedder stopped the show twice because people were passing out.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But I mean, and we talk about this on this show so, so much. It's not just the lineup. It's how easy was it to buy tickets? How easy was it to navigate the website? How easy was it to get in and out?
The user experience.
User experience is primary. And you're not selling it.
Yeah, I don't want to go anymore. I'll just watch YouTube. Watch Bruce Hornsby on YouTube.
and I hate that because you said it's great lineups and stuff, and it's and for me it's close. You know, it's a two-hour drive.
Yeah, Louisville's an easy 5.5-hour drive from Chattanooga. It's one of the easiest drives of that length you'll ever make anywhere. And I love Louisville.
So for those who don't know the layout of Louisville, and I've heard a lot about it, is this how far off from like where the downtown, where the river runs through the town? How far away are we talking that this takes place?
South, about 20 minutes.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And that's why I'm afraid I'm going to not even see the cool parts of Louisville if I were to go just to the...
You'll see nothing cool about the Expo Center.
Oh, man.
No, it's an cool airport. It's a tarmac, Brian. I mean, it's a freaking tarmac.
Wow.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's...
This is where they do a lot of like cattle and horse and, you know, like agricultural expositions and the farm expositions. Okay. And
it's a fairground. It's a paved gravel fairground, basically.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Forecastle, as you were talking about earlier, Barry, that's like how our old Riverbend Festival used to be, down on the river, downtown. Correct.
Same guy who designed their riverfront designed Chattanooga.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's just bigger, bigger, more hotels. And yeah, Louisville is awesome. The fairground is, I'm not so sure about.
Yeah. So in our text thread, I said I need to go to Louisville at least once in my life, this might not satisfy that.
You're not going to Louisville.
Just label this podcast, this festival sucks. I mean, I'm kidding, not kidding. Because, I mean, geez, the lineup
it's incredible,
so good, and
maybe that's what it has to be. We started out just gushing over every line.
Yeah, it's crazy. And to talk about how I alluded to how Frasco, right, and Frasco interacting with the crowd, the way this festival is also very, very catered to the VIP section, as they call it.
No surprise there.
So the VIP section for standing at the stage is basically the front of each stage, all the way up almost to the sound booths, and then that's where they break it off the GA. So if your GA, you're just in front of the sound tents, is as close as you can get to the stages. If you're VIP, it's awesome.
Okay, now we're more interested. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking, because that's the only way we're going.
Yeah, I would recommend if you're going to do
so to
if
the
you can
sound
it,
booth,
the
sound stage in front of the stage. All of that is a VIP in front of that. Not just like just like a third or two thirds. Wow.
There's a great picture. I could probably show it there. If you look online for Pearl Jam, you can see the they took a picture of when they were playing in 22 and the delineation where the VIP versus GA is so clear as day. And it's such a huge section for VIP. It's crazy almost how big
it
was.
I love that. Well, I mean...
Okay.
These are all things that I've seen on Reddit and Twitter and Facebook on the specific festival pages. And then I've also, from a few people here locally who have gone, have talked to me about how great it was. Everything is just in the eye of the beholder, all the different cliches, you know. But I have heard all the things you're saying. And
In my mind, Brian, I picture Woodstock 99, which you went to and loved.
Well,
but that's what I picture.
I think to what Barry's talking about, I think you're talking about landscape and aesthetically, because, yes, one of the ugliest places in the history of music festivals was – it was a Griffiths Airport, former Air Force base, later toxic waste dump. It was just a big slab of runways and concrete, and it was terrible. This wouldn't be that bad, I wouldn't guess. But interesting though. Were you there the whole weekend?
I was. We actually bailed a little early on Sunday because we were just so...
We all do it.
Yeah, just so worn out by then. Saturday, with as hot as it was and hydration and how close we got to falling out on that, we were just worn out. And after doing 2 days of that, I a third night of
and
that.
This is a four full day, right? Four full day.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a long time.
All right. And you went in 22.
22. So we had Pearl Jam, we had Alanis Morissette, we had Jack White. That was a great year. I discovered some bands I wasn't a big fan of, like St. Paul and Broken Bones and Houndmouth that I'd never listened to before. I came out there, like, those guys are awesome. Half a Crowded House was there. They had a little issue with, I guess, part of the band couldn't get visas. Or
so it wasn't crowded. Wasn't a crowded
yeah,
house.
No, it wasn't a crowded
house. Partial house. Empty house. Partial
house. Too easy.
You know, it was Neil Finn and I guess one other, and they did as best as they could for their hour set. I gave them, you know, kudos for that. But Greta Van Fleet was there that year. Jason Isbell, Brandi Carlile. It was a packed lineup. It was a great lineup, and it just...
How was
yeah? But I saw
the how was the general feel, the atmosphere of the people you were around? Was there frustration? Was it at Bonnaroo tends to be, even in the worst of times, most people put away their patience level goes up if you know what you're doing anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
How did it feel? How did it feel regularly? Was it were people frustrated more times than not?
Depends on where you were and depends if it was a weekend pass or a day pass.
Okay.
What
would be the most depending parts of those two or three different, options?
The people that were there for the whole time were a lot more patient than the people who were there for the day.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Typical.
Well, the day people didn't know what they were getting themselves into, probably.
Day people walk in and want to walk right up to the front of the stage, don't they?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
it was.
Yeah, so I don't care about their frustrations. About it was all right. Yeah, I don't care about their frustrations as much. I guess I just meant, were people thirsty? Were people hungry? Going back to like 99.
Yeah.
Were people like, okay, I would love this Pearl Jam set right now if only I wasn't, parched
standing in line to get
and
water.
Starving to death over here, right?
Yeah, sure.
There was lots of complaints, especially people around us, about the water and stuff like that, and just how difficult it was and how frustrating it was, too.
How about concessions lines and just lines for bathrooms, lines for concessions? Just were those pretty bad?
Those were all stupid. Yeah, they were all stupid bad.
Man.
I think what we need to do, and I'll put it out there, anybody listening that went maybe last year, that could speak to, they fixed a lot of this, or
that
they didn't
nice
fix.
To hear,
I'd love to talk to somebody, and we probably ought to reach out to somebody with the festival, because I don't even know who, is it a Live Nation?
I don't know.
No, it is Danny, God, who puts it on? It's Danny Perkins.
We need to find out and maybe have them on as a guest, because we obviously, don't want to beat anybody up if they fixed it, because to your point, Brian, I mean, everybody has their growing pains, but I would be curious, if they fixed a lot of that, if like now they have 24 water spigots instead of 12.
from what I understand from people who went last year, the hydration situation was the same.
That's a problem.
Yeah, see, and everything I'm going on with stuff I read about from just last year, I'm thinking like 2,400 water stations is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
they need to easily quadruple what they have out there.
Festivals used to give water away for free. That is newer thing.
Yeah, the vendors want to sell that water. I mean, and I get that. You want your vendors to make money. I mean,
they're making their money.
It's about
they're making their money.
I get that, but there is a balance, and you got to take care of your patrons. What's the capacity? Do you even know?
Oh, I don't know. It was huge. It was so crowded. I would probably put it. It's probably in the 40,000-50,000.
Okay, so it's not 80, is it capped? Do you know even that?
I don't know.
No, it says here they had 140,000 fans.
Is that for the whole weekend?
Yeah, I wonder what. I wonder who's doing that math. You know, the Chamber of Commerce or?
Yeah, I know. Still though, it's not 40. And that could be all 4 days added up. Don't know that, but interesting. So. what would it take? I mean, obviously, we've just all four agreed the lineup is, like I said, made up. There's no way it's that good. But what would it take for you to want to go back?
Fix the hydration. They allow hydration packs in and fix the hydration situation.
Okay. Well, that's
even All In and Indianapolis. So the All In had it at the Indianapolis Fairgrounds, right? Kind of a similar setup. Even they brought in a whole bunch of portable hydration stations that they set up. And they had other water fountains there. And it was an indoor arena and outdoor place. It wasn't even that big. And they had more hydration stations than this place did. So just water. Just give the people water. Just make your money on your sodas and everything else, but at least give them freaking water.
Yeah, it sounds fixable.
That's fixed. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fixable thing. Should be.
And, you know, I know they're not going to, but, you know, get some GA up to the stage. I mean, geez, throwing everyone back as far as it was, but that's not a big deal. I'd just go VIP if I was going to go again, because now I know.
Well, the ticket price, the initial quick glance at everything, of course, it is the add-ons. It's almost like more that Bonnaroo's doing it like crazy now, too. But, like, the add-ons and it was almost overwhelming trying to figure out, what am I buying? What do I get with this? But the initial just ticket price doesn't seem to be that excessive. So I don't know how much VIP would cost. I'm not in the business of buying VIP. Generally, I'll take it if someone's handing it over. But the hydration thing, I mean, especially in the world we're in now, I mean, you don't put on a festival and not provide ample water. I mean, it's just that simple. Like, that's irresponsible. That's borderline liable. That's, you know, there's legalities in that as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, it would be nice to hear that maybe that's a huge part of the potential upgrades of this year, because clearly the crowd, the excitement for this lineup is huge.
Yeah,
it's huge all over. The entire city of Chattanooga is going to this. If you listen to Facebook, every person I know in the city of Chattanooga is going. Now that means 10 people are going.
But it's like $300 for a GA ticket. Basically.
It's a pretty darn good start to me, based on where we're at in the world of ticket prices.
Yeah,
and
yeah, but if you add another $300 for camping, and then, you know, they send you to a parking lot a mile away, that doesn't seem worth the money.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Dan, because one of the things I've said since the beginning of this podcast is Bonnaroo never felt like they had their hand in my wallet. Does this festival feel like it does?
Oh yeah, this festival is meant to squeeze every penny out of you. And part of the thing about the hydration stations where they are is you had to walk by every vending booth. Every place selling, you know, bourbon, liquor, beer, before soda, before you can get the water.
Yeah.
So it's designed
there. Yeah.
No,
yeah, it was sounds very like on purpose.
Very deliberately designed for that way. So,
All right.
It is what it is.
All right. Well, like I said, I'd love to hear from somebody else who has either the same or differing, but especially somebody who maybe went last year.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're all sort of in agreement. The lineup is unfreaking believable. And you know, a lot of festivals have quirks. I mean, we love Bonnaroo. Not everybody wants to camp. So, I mean, I get that. There are trade-offs. But yeah, you got to provide water.
If they fix that, just allow packs in. You know, you know, if you're going to search bag chairs, but you're that's your excuse not to have a camel pack. It takes too long to search.
Oh, is that what they? I thought they might have just thought you were trying to sneak in like a thing of vodka or something. You know,
who knows? I was hoping that's what their reasoning was, because there's no logical reason otherwise why they're doing it.
Reason, no, other than just just trying to.
Danny, we didn't ask. Are you going to Bonnaroo? What other festival are you going to?
All right,
I got on this year is Soulshine. And Bonnaroo and Hinterlands is what I've already booked up for this year, and I may try to squeeze in one more if I can.
You're the real deal, man. That sounds like that's a hell of a slate.
Yeah, Summer Camp / Soulshine won me over. That is if you've never been to that festival,
no, I haven't.
And you like a vibe and a crew and a camping festival that is just fun time. I highly recommend going to that one. It's jam and EDM mostly, but it's a great atmosphere. Those guys put on a hell of a festival.
What about your nice. Bonnaroo lineup thoughts? Been plenty spoken of on this show.
I think the headliners were a little bit of a letdown, but that undercard and midcard is freaking outstanding. Yep. That is, there's a lot of gems I'm finding in here too. I've never ran across, and that's what I love about Bonnaroo is finding this new stuff. And there is so much of it this year. I'm very pleased. Like I said, don't care about the headliners too much, but everyone else definitely for it.
Cool. Will you attend all three of those the same way? And in other words, are you in the same tent at each place, or do you do them differently, like hotel for one?
I'm all about camping.
Yeah.
So these are all be camps.
So you know how to camp. You got your setup. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you? 11 years of the Army didn't hurt either.
There you go.
Do you do GA camping at Bonnaroo, or are you getting into the a la carte VIP stuff?
Last year we did RV. We did GA the year before that. We're going back to GA for this year. Only because they jacked up those RV prices so crazy much. I was like,
they sure did.
So, I'll be back in GA, which I'm actually kind of looking forward to. And I'll, walk over to the Rubus group and stuff like that whenever I can and hang out with those guys too.
Nice. All right. Cool. Anything else?
I think that covers it. I mean,
I think we heard it. Yeah.
You told me what I was afraid you were going to. That I thought that this might be what I would hear, and I didn't want to hear it. Especially after our local festival, Moon River, has taken the year off, or effectively are done. As Barry mentioned in a group text, as we were talking about, are we going? I was just like everybody else. I'm going. There's no chance I'm not going. And of course, who knows if I'm going? And it was like, well, that's after Moon River, the week after Moon River. I was like, oh shit. Okay. I got to rethink this. Well, now September's wide open, except for it's football season, which doesn't mean as much to me as it does everybody else, but
it's interesting.
Long time to think about it. That's the good news.
All right. Mm-hmm. Man, Dan, thank you so much for giving up an hour of your Sunday or more, and very informative.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, there you go. Talk about a roller coaster.
Yeah.
We spent, 10 minutes gushing and then got a little reality check.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I think, Ryan, I think you summed it up. I mean, he said basically, what I was afraid to hear.
Yeah, the emotions went all over the place quickly. Like, because I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know this guy. I've never met Dan, and so I didn't know what he was going to say. But I had heard enough that I thought that there's a chance that this is what he's going to say. And basically, he said, it's awful. I mean, and really, the user experience, as we just talked about, that's as important. And Tim Kelly, we had on a few weeks back, he was talking about the artist experience. Like it's not just a good lineup. It's got to gel in so many different ways. And if you can't, you can't get to anything to make your time more, enjoyable.
It's not just about, did you see a great set from your favorite band?
Yeah.
I mean that is, that is such a, and it can fluctuate. If you see a great set, you can put up with, I didn't get water.
Sure.
It balances, but man, it starts with, was it easy to buy tickets?
Was it easy to understand? Like when I look at their website, didn't really dive into this moment. I kind of maybe just hinted at it. I started looking around. Now, granted, I'm not buying tickets to festivals as often as maybe some people are watching or listening to this show do, because I'm lucky and I don't have to, but I looked at the layout and I was like, wait, does this include this? Is this got this? Does this come with it? Like, so to your point of even just buying the tickets, that's the first start. That's your first impression. And if you're just trying to keep your quality of life manageable before you can even wonder whether you care about that Neil Young set.
Right.
Oh man, that's a struggle. And then for me, us 5 hours away or 10 hours away. And we go to Bonnaroo. I can run home if I forget my blood pressure medication, right?
Yeah, we're fortunate. And you know, I always get made fun of on here, but the part of the Bonnaroo is you're there on the farm. The decision as to whether to get up off your chair and go see an act you've maybe not heard of is made a lot easier because you're there.
And so, you're comfortable generally if you, you know, if you
and
know
you're comfortable
doing,
yeah. And it's set up and
yeah, if your needs are met.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Once your needs are met, then those decisions do become easier. Yeah.
But if you're sitting in a hotel, you know, and you've got to make a 10, 15, 20 minute drive, find a parking space, make that walk. You know
that you're going to wait. We didn't even talk about how long the lines were, but just to get in the facility itself, or lack of a better way to put it, the venue area itself. I mean, then you might just think, well, maybe I'll just watch another Seinfeld while I have a beer or a cocktail.
That's right.
And you know?
And I know it sounds like the old man, get off my
lawn. I know it does, but it's not wrong.
But these are the things that, you know, for people who are veterans of these events, these are the things that we consider.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. We talk about, you know, old man, get off my lawn stuff. This festival is designed for not 23-year-olds. I mean, yeah, this is a festival. I mean, you don't put Soul Asylum, Sunvolt, Sunny Day Real Estate, Lyle Lovett, Chris Isaac, the Wallflowers, the fake Beach Boys, Zach Bryan maybe, but Neil Young. You don't put these bands on a list of people that aren't going to want adult
comfort,
exactly.
You're right.
Yeah, you're not attracting 20-year-olds.
You know, as James McMurtry song, I'm something. I'm 40-something. I don't even care. All I want is a comfortable chair. You know, I don't want a chair at the show. Sorry for that. But same concept. You got to be comfortable, or you're not going to have any damn fun. And yeah, you might not miss Neil Young because he's, who knows if he'll ever play again in this area. There's a very good chance he never will. You might not miss that. You won't miss Zach Bryan because he's the biggest act in the world. But all these other bands, ex-ambassadors, maybe that's one, or Melissa Etheridge. Well, like, okay, you know what? To hell with Melissa Etheridge.
You know what? We joked a minute ago with Dan about, you know, showing up and expecting to get front row right away. To your point, that's what this age group thinks. You know, think about that. The people going to see Neil Young, if their day, you know, just day ticket, they think they're going to show up 20 minutes before, in, walk right up, right?
And the Karens are going to be everywhere. The Karens and Kyles are going to be everywhere. And
they're not getting there at noon to get a good spot listening to somebody they never heard of.
No. And so you just, that's interesting. You're just going to have to deal with that too. And some people are just never going to be happy. So you got that too.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I really want to hear from some other people because this has been a yesterday, like you said, I was texting, we're going.
It was a done
deal. Oh, yeah, we were already making plans.
I literally, the day that the festival lineup was released, if it wasn't the day of, it was within 24 hours. It was right at the exact same, roughly the same time. I got at my day job the request for our time off for the year. And it can be moved, and I pick a week in April, a week in September, and then the Bonnaroo week. That's luckily I've been doing this so long that's my week. Nobody else can have that week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and everybody's okay with that. But the other two are flexible, and I picked this week in September. You know, I was like, I'm going. It's happening. Yeah. And now I'm like, well, maybe I'll go to a football game instead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have to know now. Right. That's a good news.
Yeah. We'll talk more about it then. But all right, that was good. Dan, good get, good guess. Thank you, Dan, for your time.
Good insight.
Yes.
Everybody listen to this, like, share, review, do all those things. Thanks to Consequence for having us and being part of their network. And what else? What other business?
Think that's got it. If you're here locally in Chattanooga, the Stone on Air podcast.
There you go. Listen to Brian Stone. Thanks for Brian for joining us.
We'll be back in the coming weeks. We've got more Bonnaroo shows to share. We've got a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely.
It's festival season. I'm excited. It will be warm soon enough. We'll change the clock soon when life can get back to some normalcy. Order will be restored soon.
Hey, please, speaking of, and we talk about this a little bit, but look, when we were going through the lineups, we've interviewed a lot of the folks on these lineups, and those shows are pretty evergreen. I think they're not dated, so maybe go back and look. Russ has done a great job of archiving all of our shows, so you know, there's a bunch of people that are at Bourbon and Beyond or Bonnaroo or wherever. Go check them out. They're good listens. Yep. All right, thanks, guys.
Consequence Podcast Network.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.